Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he went out, when he set out from Haran. Until the year before last, the worship service we offered under the name Worship to Honor the Elderly. And since last year, we have offered it under a new name, the Grand Generation Day. This morning, as I also shared last year, I'd like to once again speak about the background that led us to change the name. And I'd like to explain this to you. Now, the WHO, the World Health Organization, defines those aged 65 and older as elderly. Those between 65 and 74 years old are called early elderly, and those 75 and older are called late elderly. However, in the worship service to honor the elderly that had been offered until the year before last, the word elderly was used to refer to those late elderly, those aged 75 and older. And that's the way we interpreted it in Megumi Church. Also, when we use the word kensho, which means commendation, and if we look it up in the dictionary, it says to make widely known hidden good deeds or achievements, to make known broadly and command. That is, when we talked about the kensho to the elderly worship service, the worship to honor the elderly was a worship in which we expressed our respect to those aged 75 and older to give thanks for the grace of living together and presenting small gifts from our hearts. We could rejoice together in the blessing of growing older within the love of God. Of course, this also introducing the words of the Kira Kira service, as we did today, and sharing together our support and prayers for it. And the fact that this worship service had been offered until now under the name Worship to Honor the Elderly, it had been the Lord's blessing and grace. But in the midst of this, there were voices who were saying that they felt a sense of discomfort about the name Worship to Honor the Elderly. Now, we began to hear comments such as, "I may have turned 75, but I'm still healthy, and being called an elderly person doesn't feel so pleasant. And being commended doesn't sit well either." I began to hear such comments here and there, and also received direct feedback. And so, about 6 years ago, at the Worship Planning Committee, we have discussed every year about a new name to replace Worship to Honor the Elderly. We talked about names like Worship to Bless the Elderly, or Senior Blessing Worship, Silver Generation Blessing Worship, Kira Kira Day, Kira Kira Service Day, and in one church I visited recently, they were offering worship under the name Happy Silver Day. But after considering various possibilities, we finally agreed on the name Grand Generation Day. The previous name, Worship to Honor the Elderly, was written entirely in kanji and Chinese characters, whereas Grand Generation Day is, in some sense, the complete opposite. It is entirely in katakana. There was some concern that people might be surprised and have an odd feeling about that. But at Megumi Church, we already have annual worships such as Mana Day and Morigaku Day, and have used katakana names like Eastertide, Advent, and Christmas Groove. We concluded that this one, too, would likely be received in the same way, without much trouble. And above all, the name Grand Generation, the meaning, is wonderful. It not only contains the full intention of what we had meant by worship to honor the elderly, but even adds a deeper meaning. At first glance, the name Grand Generation may seem to be English, but in fact it is Japanese-made English. It is not originally an English expression. It was a term coined by a well-known broadcasting writer and scriptwriter. It was invented to refer to people who, after retirement, live their second life actively and positively. The word grand means supreme or excellent. The phrase expresses the wish that the age that is called elderly may be regarded as the best generation of life, that one may age healthily and with abundant knowledge and experience enjoy life. It is a term of respect towards older people. All of that is meaning contained in the word grand generation. In the worship planning committee, we even considered writing Grand Generation in Japanese characters and calling it the worship to bless the Supreme Generation. But that sounded rather grandiose and heavy and was rejected. Nearby, our neighboring Aeon Mall has sympathized with the concept of Grand Generation, and for about 10 years, they've been celebrating Respect for the Aged Day as GG Day, taking the initials of Gen Generation and promoting commands under that name. This does not mean GG as in grandfather or old person. And so, above all, the reason why we ultimately decided let's go with Grand Generation Day is because the Bible never speaks of old age in a negative or passive way. It's never pessimistic. Rather, it tells of many men and women of God who, because of their advanced age, were used by God to lead others into blessing. It records that, as a result, their old age became their finest season in the Lord. This became their greatest time and contribution. So, for example, in Genesis 12, we see Abram who appears, and he was precisely such a person whose life, beginning at the age of 75, what today we would call late elderly, was dramatically changed by the hand of God. At 75 years old, Abram received from the Lord, the creator of all visible and invisible things, all of heaven and earth, he received this promise: I will bless you. You will be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. All the people of the earth, all generations of the world, shall be blessed through you. You are the one I have chosen to be the starting point of my blessing. So the creator of all things makes this promise to Abram. But what is interesting is that before the age of 75, God never said any such thing to Abram. God had not appeared to Abram before this time. So it must have been that it had to be Abram as he was, having lived those 75 years on the earth. The words of blessing promised to Abram were, for humankind, something impossible to measure. The most important, magnificent, and ultimate work of God's salvation. So it was through Abram's descendant that the Savior, the very appearance of God himself, came into this world to rescue humanity from the wages of sin, from eternal ruin, from the burning Gehenna of hell, and to redeem and transform human lives. The final fulfillment of that promise, that word, was realized in Jesus. So this is the end result of this promise that God made to Abram when he was 75 years old. We wonder what Abram thought, if he had any idea of what that promise meant. Perhaps he thought maybe it's like this, or when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, but Isaac was saved by the Lord's intervention. When we look at what God does for human beings, it is not as often in a short time span, not in a month or two or a year or two, as we might wish when we pray earnestly. In Scripture, we see that God often works on a scale of hundreds of years, or even thousands of years. A span almost unimaginable for us, whose human lives rarely reach even 100 years. The scale of the story may feel too vast to grasp, but for Abram himself, it must also have been difficult to comprehend. Perhaps it was like this. He must have thought, why now? Why me? He doesn't understand this blessing. And he thinks, even if it were me, wouldn't it have been better when I was younger, when I still had strength and a future? Why now, when I'm old? And the birth of the Savior of all things, what is that? We can imagine such doubts and confusion, as we see in other passages in Scripture. So let us look in Genesis 12:7. In 12:7 it says, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." To Abram, who at 75 had no children, God spoke such incomprehensible words. Already bewildered that God had chosen and appointed him in his old age, Abram must have been even more puzzled by these words. Then after 25 more years without a child, when Abram was 100 years old, God told him something even more incomprehensible. He gave him a new name, Abraham, the father of nations. What is this name? How many children will I have? I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. Father of nations. But though he was so old, this started wheels turning, and Abraham was unable to understand. They could not believe this promise of God. How can we, who are so old, God had said, I will give to your wife Sarah, Sarai, who is 90 years old, son. And they laughed and said, how can such a thing be possible? From our limited finite human perspective, such a reaction was in a way quite natural. But from God's perspective, that time, when human strength had reached its absolute limit, when no possibility remained, that was the most fitting time to show and teach us that He alone is God. We have no strength left, not even a millimeter. And let us think about the confession of the Apostle Paul. For Christ's sake, I am strong when I am weak. If I must boast, I will boast of my weaknesses. We are weak in Him, yet by God's power we live with Him. That confession of Paul, that the time when I am powerless is precisely the time of God, comes to mind. It is the time when we have no strength at all, that is the time of the Lord. That is when God helps us and saves us. When physically, mentally, or even spiritually we are weak, that is the time of the Lord. For example, when we grow older and find there are more and more things we can no longer do, we might say that this is precisely the time when opportunities for the Lord's time to be revealed are open to us, whether we like it or not. There was a time 2 or 3 years ago when, struck down by various thoughts, all the strength in my body left me. And I was overtaken by a feeling of powerlessness that made it impossible to get up from bed. At that time, my wife said to me, then you should pray. Just pray. I can't do it. That's where it begins. She was so gentle with me. Well, I thought in my heart, I already know it and still can't do it. I still can't even pray. And that's why it's painful. Even so, gradually the thought, that's true, began to rise up in me as if a small light were beginning to shine into utter darkness. When it's all said and done, I've been living each day with the attitude, I will do it, so God, please help me with that. In the end, I try to rely on my own strength, on my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own sense of rightness, my own virtues, my pride and boasting, trying to make my own abilities stand out more, only to stumble, to be crushed, to despair, and to decide that I am no good. I refuse to yield to even the smallest gap through which God's power might be revealed. I don't want to admit it. While saying I rely on God, in reality I am using God, trying to make my own desires achieved, trying to fill my own wants, and according to the degree of that achievement or fulfillment, saying my prayer was answered, or it wasn't answered, or I got something, or I didn't receive it. And so I am misunderstanding it as being according to God's will. I feel I am being questioned daily by God Himself about such things. But even though I am being questioned every day, in these ways, somehow, isn't this the very process of grace? The process through which God, through our belief in Him, in Jesus Christ, brings to us, brings to me, the recognition of the fact that spiritual reality that says, I have died and Christ lives in me. And that is the meaning of saying that growing old, adding years, is to be placed in a situation where both physically and bodily one becomes aware of decline, and inevitably must once face one's own weakness. You wonder what's going on, what appears at first glance to be a negative thing. In the faith of believing in the true God, the Lord Jesus becomes an opportunity through which one is made to experience the power, the honor, the strength, the wisdom, and the glory of the Lord God Himself. Is not this what the Lord teaches us? I feel it that way. When one feels physical decline, one likely feels that death is closer than before. And when one feels death, one can't help but think about or expect whether or not there is life beyond it. One is compelled to recognize one's own helplessness in being driven towards death against one's own will. And before the reality that is one's life, what one thought was one's own, does not move according to one's own will. One is led to think, could it be that there is someone who governs life? There must be. No, there must be. Otherwise, my life would have no meaning. And if such a one exists, I want to rely on him. This is what it means to add years, to become older. Moses was such a person. At the age of 80, the age at which God called and chose him as leader to bring up the people of Israel, was an age when Moses himself sang in Psalm 90, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but toil and trouble." He was living each day conscious of death, as if to say it would not be strange if I died today or tomorrow. That was what it meant to Moses to be 80 years old. And indeed, when God said to Moses, "I will use you, 80 years old as you are, to lead more than 2 million Israelites out of slavery in Egypt," he reacted just like Abram. Please do not say such unrealistic, foolish things. As I am now, I have nothing. I am merely an old man living day by day, and it would be no surprise if I died at any moment. However, from that point on, Moses would live in the Lord in good health for another 40 years, until he was 120 years old. And when Moses died at the age of 120, his condition was described in Deuteronomy in this way. I'm 49 years old. So, Deuteronomy 34:7, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. I think about being 120. At 49, I can't imagine it. At 80, I expect to be exhausted. We can't understand what it means for our lives to end. No matter how strong in our age we might be, we have to realize that what's left is all in God's hands. At the age of 40, Moses carried the feeling of having suffered the greatest failure and defeat of his life. He lived another 40 years without leaving any notable record, and by the time he became 80, he was very conscious of forthcoming death. And yet, at 80, God appeared to him in a mysterious way. A bush that once set on fire should have burned up in an instant, kept on burning and shining without ever being consumed. And within that burning bush, God appeared to him, showing him the true state of a human life that rests in God's hands. So let us look at chapter 3 of Exodus, verses 1 to 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. To Moses, who had reached an age conscious of his death, God appeared in the midst of a bush that burned yet was not consumed, as if to teach him that human life, when it is in the hand of God, when it is to do the work of God, is at its best, that when one expects the Lord's work and seeks to live by his will, then life shines, and one be made to taste the essence of life itself. Think about our lives. Moses seems to teach us through his life and the living experience of his years with the Lord after that encounter at 80, that our lives are truly blessed when the work of God is being done through our lives. For like the bush that should have burned up yet did not, our lives continue to burn without being consumed. So at 80, in this way, Moses, having experienced the deterioration of his strength and the failing of his body, learns that there's nothing that is impossible to God. With God, all is possible. It's not a bad thing if you are in the hand of God. It's God's time, the time for which God waits, the time to know God. So let us look at Psalm 92, which sings of this truth. Psalm 92, verse 14. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. It says that they will bear fruit in their old age. But now let us look at Psalm 71 of David, verses 17 and 18. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. David confesses here as follows. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and even when I am old and gray, O God, you are my God. This is David's thought. These are David's words. God waits for us. Even in our old age, he is waiting for us. Even when I am old and gray, O God, you are my God. And today is Grand Generation Day. Whether it is 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, or 120 years, what age one calls the grand generation, the best generation, may differ from person to person. Yet one fact is that Scripture, in Scripture and in this Psalm of Praise, we learn that if one lives in God, if one lives in the Lord Jesus, if one lives in the Word, that is all it takes to be a member of the grand generation, the best, most excellent generation. In the midst of difficulties and frustration when we can do nothing, whether they are the rust born of our own deeds or some destiny we cannot control, whether it's weakness or just merely decline of age, sufferings to be endured or walls to break through, if it's helplessness and frailty, if it is acceptance or resistance, as we walk through these inexpressible paths of life, the one fact that Scripture teaches us is that all of it, everything, all of it is in Jesus Christ. If it is in Jesus Christ, it is the grand generation. That is God's promise to us. Abram and Moses, each at their own age, Abram of 75 and Moses at 80, each met God in their so-called old age. David walked with God all his life. But their lives even contained great suffering, unrecoverable failures, helplessness and weakness. There was ugliness, even sin, and yet their entire lives in the triune God were the grand generation. There was a time I had visited an elderly person who had fallen ill and could no longer live as before. I wondered, what kind of face should I wear? What kind of expression should I show? But when I went to meet them wondering about that, instead, they welcomed me with a bright expression, as if to say, "Why do you look so worried?" And they came out as husband and wife, and they said to me that I can no longer go to church whenever we wish as before. Though my body no longer moves freely as it once did, I am truly happy now. I remember the Sunday messages I have heard so far and savor them again in my mind. I recite the words of Scripture I have stored up over the years. I speak to Jesus. Never before have I been able to spend 24 hours entirely in conversation with Jesus. And that's why I am happy now. Now I am happy as I have ever been. This person, even in old age, with gray hair, together with his wife, joyfully proclaiming to me the power of God and his mighty works. For each person, the grand generation lies in the fact that Jesus is with them, that the person lives with Jesus in the words of Jesus, and that Jesus lives in that person. Whether over 75 or under 75, all, if they are in the Lord Jesus, are the grand generation. In the Lord Jesus, may we together savor the blessing of being made to live our own grand generation and take yet another step forward. Let us pray. I will declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Lord, you are waiting for us. And at that time, you will teach us what we need. Though our strength is weakening, there are many things that we can no longer do. We may be sad, but at that time, especially at that time, when we encounter you, you will teach us joy, and we give you thanks. In our lives, though we think we have control as we walk through every day, we must confess that we are in your hands. That our lives are in the life of Jesus. And you remind us of these facts. We must not forget that in you we can be glorious, we can give light. As we tell others of your greatness and glory, you will also bless us. Please support us in that way. We thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We give thanks to you for your Son. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.